Access all areas on FUBAR Radio.
Hello, good evening. Welcome to Access All Areas. I am Stephen Lang.
And I'm Bobby Norris. How are you, babes?
I'm all right. That's a lie.
Talk to me. What's wrong?
I'm tired. I've had multiple days of very little sleep. Going to bed really early.
A lot of tossing and turning.
Exactly that. I'll wake up and then I'll back to sleep and then I wake up again and I'm back to sleep, wake up again.
Restless sleep. And then it just kills you for the rest of the day, doesn't it?
Yeah, now it's been multiple days in a row. So if you catch me in a mental hospital next week, that's why. I'm at the end of my tether. Yeah. How are you, Bob? All right?
Really good, thank you, babe. Really good.
What's
been going down? I think it's the lighting.
Oh, okay, fine.
Every day we had last week? Whenever there's a little bit of sun, whenever I'm free, I try and sit in the garden for a little bit.
Before you know it.
But, you know, it's one of them things where even though to look at the sky, it doesn't look particularly hot. And obviously it's not one of them you're going to lay on a lounger and get like the cream out.
True.
It still feels really muggy in the air.
Yeah, it's not nice. I wore jeans to work today and I was sweating on the way in, and it's only 21. It's not even that hot.
It's weird weather though, isn't it?
Because
I thought it was going to be really cold. So I wore trousers to the gym, and instantly, by the time I got out of the car, I was like, oh, I feel like clammy.
Yeah. Bobby.
Lovely. What a way to start the show, guys.
We're doing our show a little bit differently today. So we're going to do a little bit of news at the top of the show, and then we're going to end the show with some news. But we have some very exciting guests. Yeah. Why not? We've got Kitty Scott Claus, who's been on the show before, former Drag Race UK contestant turned celebrity master chef extraordinaire. I want to ask her, she's the only one that has to perform in an outfit, you know, she's in full drag, the rest of them just turn up. So I want to ask her about what it's like working in a kitchen with, you know, John Turode and Greg Wallace while you're all in full makeup and hair and everyone else is just
massive wig on.
Well, everyone else is just in their gym gear, you know. So I want to ask her about
that. That's a good point, actually.
Yeah. And then from TOWIE, new cast member Junaid Ahmed is on to talk, I guess, about all things TOWIE. Something you don't know anything about anymore, do you, Bob? So you're far departed from the show. So
I still get all the teas, don't you worry about that.
I'm sure you do. But to kick us off, I thought, you know, it's me. I do like a little bit of politics. We've got a new Prime Minister Liz Truss. This is an unnormal showbiz talk, obs, but I'm obsessed, so I don't care. What's your thoughts? Any thoughts? Any at all?
Well, I mean, you far know more about politics than I do, but I don't know the ins and outs, because I weren't sure if it was going to be down to us voting between the final two. But for me, you know, there was still that whole sat there waiting for it to be announced. I thought it was like a foregone conclusion, because it felt like for 5 or 6 days prior to being announced, it was just like a given it was going to be her. And even I took that from news and media who knows very little about politics.
I think you're right.
So I wasn't kind of sure why there was still the wait, unless it was like crossing the T's and dotting
the I's.
It's just good that we've got someone at the minute. I think now that, but no shade to Boris, but I think since it was kind of announced that he was on his way out, everyone kept going, oh, we can't do anything about this. We've got a new prime minister. We can't do anything about that. Well, we've got someone now. So, Lizzie, babes, let's get to work. Do you know what I mean? What's your thoughts? Are you glad it's her?
I kind of like you. I'm glad it's somebody, because somebody needs to take charge. It's obviously like quite a lot going on in the world at the moment, and it's a bit of a shitstorm to have no one who's sort of there to work out a solution. When you see things like people that owns like small tiny little restaurants whose electricity bill has gone from £2,000 a year to £22,000 a year, or would do next year, more than they were even paying in business charges, or rent even in some cases. Like, like it's not sustainable. Do people? That's not. It's not an option. There has to be a solution found to that problem. So in a way, I'm glad. I think Martin Lewis, you know, the money man who does sort of GMB and stuff sometimes, he was saying that it almost doesn't matter how we get to a solution with it. There just needs to be one. So whether it's through windfall taxes or all the things they're talking about. So, yeah, I think I'm glad that at least we're moving forward on that. As for her personally, I don't know.
I mean, even if Larry the Cat had took it, do you know what I mean? I was like, just someone do something. Like, we are in a situation that I feel like, well, I feel like the word unprecedented has just been so used in the last 2.5 years. But
it is.
Like you say, it's just every month there feels like there's something. And this is just... And the knock-on effect for this, for everyone, I'm just small businesses, I think everyone's noticing it, even down to your weekly shop. Do you know what I mean? There's certain items, obviously you don't know everything by a certain price, but there's certain items, especially if you pick it up a couple of times a week.
Yeah.
Things are going up dramatically. And I don't know if the Prime Minister can do anything about the cost of like bottled water and Cravendale and stuff, but something's got to be done.
Yeah, you'd think, right? There has to be some sort of solution. I don't know about inflation. I don't know who. I don't really understand it.
Energy, something needs to be done with that. Though.
Yeah,
where are we going to be if all these businesses can't carry on?
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
People are worried about their own homes, which we're all in that situation. But it's like you forget that there's businesses that have to obviously put their lights on, put their heating on, like
yeah. Yes, yeah, it's completely like unsustainable, unprecedented, like you say. So at least we've got someone in charge to do that.
We need to get her on Access All Areas. That's what we need.
I am well up for a little chat with Liz Truss, Keir Starmer, any of them really.
Get them all on.
That want to chat. I'm pretty sure Keir Starmer is their local MP for where the FUBAR studios are. You know, maybe
it's a
one day. You know, I did actually want to interview David Cameron.
Did you? What was he like?
He wasn't actually the leader of the Conservatives at the time. I've just been told it's Emily Thornberry, but she's really good value as well. I'll take her. He was a little bit smarmy, not going to lie. Just got a bit of like an...
Didn't get a nice vibe from him.
Not really, no. You know, like when you meet someone's parents when you're like in school and the dad's a bit too busy for you. Didn't really want it. Just a bit like, hello. Like, it was a bit like that. So, I don't know. It wasn't really my cup of tea.
Would you have rather it been Liz? Out of the two, it was down to
Liz and Rishi. I feel like, well, Rishi's a billionaire, right? So, I don't know how down with the people he really is. I think at least Liz has got, you know, she's comes from a fairly normal background. I don't know. Maybe she can find some solutions to problems. Yeah, I don't know. And she's only 47, which isn't that old, really, is it?
Not at all.
For a leader of a country.
Do you know what, though? Like, if she can make things a little bit easier for everyone and can just sort something out because, well, like we say, something's got to be done here because, we're half laughing about it, but it ain't funny. It's actually only going to get worse, isn't it? So,
yeah.
And how does it all work? Does she, cause I know there's been, like, rumours saying she's going to try and freeze energy prices.
Yeah, I think we're all going to find this out tomorrow, but by which time this show will have aired. So I think it's a bit unclear, but yes, that's one of the options. She could also ask the companies to pay loads of money from their profits, which are literally like highest than they've ever been from like these energy companies.
But she says she don't want to do that.
Exactly,
she don't want to stop people investing or something.
Yeah, it's all a bit. I don't know.
So what about, we've got very political, aren't we?
I know.
We're normally talking about a Kardashian. Yeah. Look at us. We're so sophisticated, babe.
Sometimes these things change. But, we'll talk more celebrities at the end of the show because, excellently, Kitty is here and a few minutes early. So let's get Kitty in for a chat.
Hi.
Hello, babe.
Hey. Hi, Bob. How's it going?
Yeah, good. Thank you, darling. You?
I'm good, thank you. I'm really good. Thank you for seeing me.
No, thank you so much for coming on. We really appreciate it. You are a busy lady, so we're not going to keep you any longer than we need to.
Bless you.
Because you're getting ready to go and perform somewhere tonight, is that right?
Yeah, we're in Newcastle at the moment.
Stunning. What's it like? Do you actually get to see the cities when you're there?
So we've had 2 days off. So we've had two days in Newcastle. So it's all right. We get to like see a bit. But this venue is horrible. Dressing room's vile. City Hall, I think.
Oh, okay. Well, we won't be going there on our tour then, Bob.
No, don't.
Had a night out since you've been up there, though.
Yeah, we did. First night, we were in the yard, and then we were in, what's the other one called? Like Rusty's or something?
Oh, fun.
I got so drunk. I'm normally quite good. I'm normally quite like well behaved, but I've got messy.
Were you in drag or was this
no, out of drag? Rock on.
So obviously you've been we've been seeing you a bit more on our tellies recently, haven't we?
You have.
MasterChef, what was that like?
Oh, honestly, it was the most fun. Do you know, I at the same time as doing MasterChef, I was in a play in the West End. So I was doing MasterChef in the days and then I was doing Death Drop in the evening. So it was crazy scheduling wise, but it was the most fun. I had such a laugh doing it. And obviously I went into MasterChef being like a complete novice. I was like, I don't know anything about cooking. I'm so rubbish at it. I don't cook ever, but I want to learn. And like, I think that's what comes across, that I'm just like, in my head, I'm like, I don't know what. And as well, everyone else there was so, so good. I remember being like, I'm like, so like miles behind everyone else here, but I had a willingness to learn, and I think that's what got me through to the semi-final.
And that's half of it. But so what was kind of your level of cooking before you did it? What would, if you was going to rustle up and try and impress someone, what's the best you could do?
I'd go on the phone and order off Deliveroo. Who has time to be like slaving away over the cooker and everything? Also, I think it's not really like conducive with like a drag queen's lifestyle to be like, yeah, let true. Me whip up like, oh, I'm going to have friends around and I'm going to be
tiramisu.
Do you know what I mean? Like, no, that was never on the cards. They asked me on like the first episode, they were like, what do you cook for like when you host a dinner party? And I was like, I don't host dinner parties because I'm not 50. Who hosts dinner parties? And if they do, get the caterers in.
Yeah,
that's the thing about MasterChef. I think that's so scary because you watch it and you see people go, oh, I'm going to do a roux. Well, how the fuck do you know how to even make a roux? Like, there's certain things I love to cook, but I can nothing to do with fish.
No, never.
So I couldn't debone a fish. You see when people pull out like a flounder and they rip its spine out and all this, I'm like, where do you begin? Like, I can do a steak at best.
That was me. I literally went into it being like, I know how to make toast and I can make like a chip butty. I can make a chip butty.
Oh, yeah.
The so bread, you're all over the bread.
Yeah. All about the bread. Bit of ketchup, stunning times. But no, honestly, it was just like, I've got no idea how to make these things. And also, I think when you're in there in the kitchen, for me at least, any common sense you have goes out the window. So like, when they're like, when it's the invention tests and they'll be like, I had a fish and it was like, what would you have with fish? I was like, I can't remember. I don't know what you have with fish.
Chips.
It could be anything. No, but I was literally like, I was so baffled by the fact they just had a fish in front of me that I was like, I don't know what to do with it. I do not know. Honestly. And there's like ingredient, like all the ingredients you can imagine. And I'm still there like, what's up with fish?
And I try to make, like, I guess you don't have your phone fish. With you. Or
no.
Like, so you can't Google.
And how competitive, how are the other celebs there? Are they the ones that you always get behind the scenes that are uber like competitive? They like, I'm going to win this. And like, yeah, some people just like, whatever. Like,
Leslie Joseph.
Oh my God, Leslie's the most competitive one there. I don't even think that.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
She's gone. But no, literally everyone there was there because they loved it and they loved the show. And it was just, we had so much fun doing it. And I think like for me at least, I'm not a very competitive person in the world. Like, I'm literally probably the least competitive person I know. And I was literally just there like, well, I'm having fun. And that's what's most important to me. If I cook something that's edible, that's even better. But I improved my skills so much there. Like, I've got to be honest, I've never hosted a dinner party in my life. And I probably will not, because going out is so easy. Why would you? Yeah, not the things you want to hear from a master.
There's a cost of living crisis, Kitty.
Cost of living crisis.
You can't be going out for dinner every night.
I, well, I'm on tour at the moment. I'm not excuse. Do you know what though? It's really cute. So we're away at the moment. We're up in Newcastle, and so all the other queens from my season, we've all been watching it. Like everyone's been like, okay, we'll go around to Kitty's hotel room and we'll put it on, and then we all watch it together on like my little Mac, and then we just they're like, ooh. In my head, I'm like, I'm awful. This is going to be a joke. They're going to be like, what the hell have you cooked?
But what about the fact you had to do yours in drag? I mean, like, that it adds an extra level of, well, I imagine you get quite hot under the wig. And
oh, I know. But you know what? Botox is a wonderful thing. It stops you sweating, doesn't it? So I'm absolutely fine. The funniest thing I find is that, like, people online are like, why is Kitty doing it in drag? I'm just like, because if I wasn't in drag, you'd literally be like, who's that?
That's a really good point.
Do you know what I mean? It's like, why she, an actor doesn't come on, and I love that people are like, she's playing a character. I'm like, no, this is literally me. I'm just like that all the time, babes.
In terms of watching it back compared to Drag Race, how is MasterChef edited? Is it very true to life? Obviously, things are going to get cut all the time, but
yeah.
When you watch it back, are you happy with it?
Oh, so happy. I literally, like, it's, I remember going into it thinking, like, right, I've done reality TV before. I know how this works, la, 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 la. But obviously, RuPaul's Drag Race and MasterChef are very different. And so you don't need to be there. Like, do you know what I mean? I was there, like, slagging off people's dishes, being like, oh, they're doing very fancy dishes, aren't they? Oh, a bit pretentious. And meanwhile, I'm trying to, like, mash potato, like, ugh. And they were literally like, you don't need to do that here. We're not on Drag Race anymore. You don't need to, like, come for the other girls' food. I'm like, okay, sure. When I was in the bottle, I was like, I'm going to be in the lip sync. I'm going to be in the lip sync for my life.
How have you seen the trailer for Series 4 of Drag Race?
I have. It got announced today, didn't it? Oh, yeah, they all look amazing.
Do you know any of them?
I do. Do you know, the drag scene is so small that everyone sort of knows everyone. And also, like, that's the thing. Like, when 12 people all go offline at the same time, it's like, it's a bit wonder what they could be doing. Yeah. You know what I mean? It's a bit sus. So, yeah, but I know loads of the girls. I know, like, most of them. I think I've met all of them now. But, I can't wait to watch it. It's going to be fantastic.
So from the ones you know, like, say, you know most of them, I mean, obviously, we've not seen any of it yet. It's only just been announced. Who would your early money be on from the people you know and knowing how the show works now? Who are you backing? Yeah.
Well, I love Baby. She's incredible. East London queen. I love Pixie Polite. I love Sminty. I love Danny Beard and Cheddar. I love LaPhil. I met LaPhil at Mighty Hoopla. And so she was just gorgeous. So, so sweet. So kind. And so lovely. I was like, what a queen. I'm really backing her. Who else? Just May. Copper Top. All of them. I love all of them.
It's got to be a strong series.
Yeah, it will be. These girls are incredible. They mean business. And as well, like, this is the fourth time now we've had a UK Drag Race. People know the game. We want the drama. I want to see fireworks.
Yeah, people ain't fucking about no more.
Nah, not season three anymore, babe.
I need to play games.
Well, that's because that was the third season was probably a little bit was. Everyone was really kind of nice, wasn't it? And it was almost like, because it was like post-lockdown, everyone was still sort of a bit sensitive maybe. Now, come on, we're back with it.
The gloves are off. Come on, girls, give us a show. No, it's so true. Like, I think this is what annoyed the producers on my season. So season three, they were like, you all get on. Like, there's no drama. And like, if there was, it would be like, oh, so-and-so took a sip out of my drink. We're meant to be in COVID and not. It was like, all the drama was so like nothing that it was just like, okay, sure. But no, I'm very excited for season four. Bring it on.
Is there ever like a slight sense of like, not jealousy, that's not the right word, but like, oh, well, now my series isn't really over now that the new series is like, you know, there's a whole new bunch of queens.
Oh my God, no. Do you know what? We were talking about this morning on the tour bus. We were all like, well, that's it now. We're old news. But I think like, you've just got to be sure in yourself and know that like what you're doing, like, the work I'm doing now, I'm like, this is incredible. I'm so grateful to Drag Race for the opportunity and for every opportunity I've had since the show. Like, who'd have thought I would have done Celebrity MasterChef? Never in 10 years. I never thought that was going to happen. So, yeah, it's just like, I know it's just like, we just wish them well and they're going to smash it. And yeah, I'll still be knocking around. Don't worry, I ain't going anywhere.
Well, and that's the good thing with Drag Race now as well. There's so many variations around the world and different kinds of ones. You never know when you might be invited back.
I know, honestly. There's all these rumours going around of everything and everything, and it's just like, we could be called back at any time. Who knows? Maybe I'm going to be on All Stars. What's the American one? But I'm not a winner, so I wouldn't be on that one, would I?
Or you could be on Versus the World or one of those ones. Maybe, oh, yeah, if they one do of that them. Again,
yeah.
Or...
Well, they've done the UK one, haven't they? So it just depends where it goes next. So, yeah, who knows?
Would you do it again if the call came in?
Absolutely. I loved it. I had so much fun doing it the first time around. And, yeah, I'd jump at the chance.
I mean, it is an amazing thing because it doesn't always work like that for everyone. But obviously for you, it was a very big deal and it went very well for you.
I know. A lot of sad girls in the cast. Oh, dear me. Gosh, and I will just be better then.
So what can you're in Newcastle tonight. How much longer have you got left of the tour?
So we are touring until the middle of October. So we've got
a long time.
Yeah, another 6 weeks or so. And then we're going up to Scotland tomorrow and we're doing 3 dates in Scotland, then back down to, I think it's Blackpool. So we really are, in the words of Rachel from X Factor, we're going around the towns and everything.
And are you doing some Christmas thing?
Oh my God. So, me and Ella the Day, who was also the runner-up from my season of Drag Race, we are doing a tour called Kitchen Ella's Christmas Cracker, and it's going to be touring all over. It's going to be fantastic. We've got some amazing special guests and some really silly Christmas numbers. Who knows? We might even do Hey Sis, It's Christmas.
Yes. It's
all very much to play for. So, yeah, people should get their tickets.
Well up for that.
Me and Stephen will have to come along.
Oh, come. I'll sort you out.
Oh, yeah. Get a little press night going, babes. We'll come down.
Yeah, gorge. Stunning.
Well, Kitty, thank you so much for joining us. I know you've got to go and finish getting ready. Well, you look pretty finished to me, but I mean,
flawless.
Bits and bobs to get done. Thank you so much. And best of luck with the rest of the tour and with MasterChef, which we'll be watching keenly.
Thank you so much, guys.
Thanks, darling.
Bye.
Well, that was lovely to speak to Kitty again. And yeah, I mean, she seems like a very, very busy bee. Bob, have you ever done drag?
Not properly. I did dress up in drag-ish. I've done the tuck when I did Celebrity Coach Trip. Where was we? I think we was in Sitges.
Oh, yeah.
And we went to a
famous
drag bar.
Gay
loved scene it there.
In Spain, yeah.
Shocker. Yeah, loved it there. yeah, we went to a gay bar and one of the challenges or tasks, whatever they call it, was to do drag. I think I was called Tracy. It was a barmaid from Essex.
Oh, okay. Very like Birds of a Feather vibe. I'm into that.
Gotta be a Tracy.
Yeah. The tuck, though, is that difficult? Is it taped? It is, isn't it?
I didn't tape. So I did, yeah, maybe I didn't do the full tuck. I didn't tape the old boy down. But I kind of did the old pop them up and between put them back.
Yeah.
Not the most comfortable of things. But,
yeah, because imagine the thing is doing that and then also like walking around in heels. Yeah. I don't know. It just seems a bit much.
I reckon it probably becomes more comfortable the more you do it. But the sensation at first of kind of, putting them up in you.
Not
me, babes.
I've done it once, not like properly, but for a friend's birthday party. I was a little bit skinnier at the time. I dressed up as Victoria Beckham. I had a pencil skirt, right up to like here, like a white shirt, like massive boobs. It was kind of like, you know, when she was in her like American era when she first moved, blonde hair. Yeah. It was like that. And I had these absolutely huge, really ugly heels on because they were the only ones we could find in a size 10. But yeah, I really enjoyed it. It was quite
Vicky
fun.
Vicky bade it up.
Yeah. I did get made up once when I worked at OK Magazine by like a drag artist for some social media thing, but I had to take it down because I got so much hate.
Oh, really? But I saw you, it was only last Halloween. Was it Halloween or you did a fancy dress?
That's true.
You were a cheerleader.
I forgot about that.
You've got some good legs on you, Stephen.
babes, look, you know, it's the one thing I do have. So, yeah, maybe next year, next year, it'll be next month now.
Get the pins out.
Yeah, get the pins out. We'll see what's happening. Yeah, Vicky B, the comeback. I'm sure the world is desperately waiting. Our second guest, Junid, is here. So let's get him in and talk all things. The only way is Essex, because I can't do it with you anymore, Bob.
Hi.
How you doing? All right?
Yeah, Bob, how are you?
Really good, thank you. Yay.
Yeah, good. Lovely to see you.
You too.
I'm obsessed with this because this is like passing on the Towie baton. How are you doing, Judith? All right.
Yeah, all good. All good. Thank you. Yeah, all good.
Tell us a little bit about what it's like to join like one of the most iconic reality TV shows, The Only Way Is Essex.
I mean, do you know what? I've known Bobby for years, and Bobby will know how much I've wanted to come on the show for years. So, do you know what? It is an amazing opportunity that I've wanted for a very long time. And I'm just so grateful, and I'm absolutely loving it. I can't honestly complain. Absolutely love every single minute of it. The drama, the tears, the lot. It's just great fun. And it's something, yeah, I can't complain.
So let's talk drama. Obviously, let's have it right. Towie is Towie, and it wouldn't be Towie without the drama.
Yeah.
So this series is already pre-recorded now, isn't it? So it's all wrapped, all done. So what is there to, what can we expect drama-wise? Is there some bombs to come?
I mean, the series started obviously with a massive bomb in the first two episodes already. In the episode that's just gone on Sunday, where you see the next time, it's obviously my big blow up with Amber. So that's kind of one of the big dramas coming next week. And do you know what? There's just so much drama in this series. I mean, I'm involved in quite a few bits and bobs, and I'm like, okay, let's just crack on. But it's just, there's a lot of drama to come this series. And I think it's exciting as well, because there's just so much change that's happened, and especially for myself as well. Like, prior to being on the show, I was in the girl band essentially, and now coming onto the show, I'm in a different group. So there's a lot that people will see and the viewers will see, which is exciting. Obviously, I've had to live and breathe it all for the last 3 months, so it's quite nice to be away from filming and just now watch it unravel. So I'm excited to see what comes.
So what is the drums with you and Amber?
So obviously me and Amber were really good friends and have been for so many years. Like, we would go on holiday together, nights out, everything we do together, we was in all one little group. And then come to like the start of the year where I got closer with Ella and Danny, and obviously Yaz come back from Dubai, we all just started going out together a lot. They just completely dropped me out. The whole friendship group I was friends with just completely dropped me out. And for me, it was kind of like, well, what have I personally done to any of yous? And if we're going to be adults in this day and age, like, it doesn't matter who I'm friends with, surely. Do you know what I mean? I just felt, obviously, there was a bit of tension between, like, my original group and to who I was friends with now. And then, obviously, it all unraveled on the show. What happened? Why I felt a certain type of way? What happened with, obviously, the divide and stuff like that? So, yeah, it's all to kind of come. And I just, in the clip that you saw on Sunday, it was very much me and her going at each other, and it does get, quite explosive.
So was there never really an argument off camera between you guys? Was it just that they kind of dropped you out, but nothing was ever said? It's not like there was some blow up row.
No, nothing was ever said off camera. It was very much like, well, there obviously is an issue because I haven't spoken to you guys for X amount of time, so let's address it.
You said at the beginning, like, you were keen to join the show for a long time, but then when you really think about it, it tends to involve exactly what you've just said, like falling out with people you've known for a long time and having to have really uncomfortable conversations in front of the camera and I guess off camera as well. What really was it that made you want to join, knowing all of that? Was it just you loved the show or what? What was it?
You know, I've obviously lived in Essex for so many years. I've always kind of lived and breathed it. All my friends have always been on the show. So I've always kind of had that kind of, just had that insight to it. I've watched it for years as well. But I think it just came at the perfect time because I just finished doing an Amazon reality show. As soon as that aired, I went straight onto Towie. So the timing was perfect for me because I just done one show, come onto Towie, which was something I've always wanted to do, because it is very much my day in, day out life anyway. Like, I live and breathe the drama off the camera and on camera. So it just kind of made sense and it was the right thing for me to do.
How did you find Love Struck High?
Loved it. Absolutely loved it. And that's very, very different to Towie, because we had...
explain a bit about what it is to anyone that might not know.
Yeah. So Love Struck High was Amazon's first ever reality show. Lindsay Lohan was the voiceover of the show. And it's basically 15 UK single people from all sexualities go back to an American high school to find love. So for me, it was the first, like, it's Amazon's first ever show. It was a first ever mixed representation of LGBT and straight cast. So it was just sounded absolutely brilliant. And going back to school, for me, school wasn't the nicest thing for me anyway. So going back to school, being the confident person that I am today, I was like, this is literally ticking all the boxes for me. So let's just do it. Went and obviously filmed that last summer, and had no phone, no contact with the outside world for two months we were filming. So there was no contact with the outside. And I absolutely loved it. I thought, I never want Instagram again. I never want my phone again. I don't ever want any WhatsApp or anything, because I was in a little bubble and I was away in this little bubble, like just living with these cast members. And I was thinking, I hate half of you. Can't stand you lot, but I'm just going to do it, because I'm here to obviously find someone as well. And it was a perfect opportunity for myself to put myself out of my comfort zone, because I'm shit at dating. I don't really date, if I'm honest. So I thought, do you know what? Let me just really push myself out of my comfort zone and just try something new.
And have you guys kept in touch?
Yeah. So the cast, even now, like obviously Love Struck aired at the start of this year. Even now, we've still got a cast group chat. We all still kind of talk now. Everyone's kind of doing their own bits and bobs. People have gone on to do other things. So yeah, it's still nice. So the friendships are still there. Obviously, I didn't find love in Love Struck, but the guy that I was coupled up with is one of my really good friends. So it was a great experience.
So would you say you're a bit of a reality TV junkie then? If you've done two reality shows ticked off, right?
I mean, do you know what? I've literally just come into the, like, I've obviously been around the industry, but I've never done a show before until Love Struck. So yeah, done Love Struck. As soon as the first eps aired, Towie got in contact. We're like, we love you on Love Struck. Come on to Towie. So it just worked perfectly. And now I'm kind of in the momentum of things. Yeah, there's no stopping me now. I'm very work focused and very career driven. So I'm just going to go for it and do whatever I can.
So I'll read the fallout with Amber. Do we see a resolve there? Does a friendship kind of, does it become...
You know what? It's hard for me, Bob, because obviously I was friends with her for several years. And in the friendship, even when I was friends with her, I did always feel like I was walking on eggshells around her. I did always feel like, I don't know if I'm saying the right thing or not the right thing. Some days she's nice, some days she's not. And for me, it was very much like, on the show, you see my emotion come out, because there's so much for the years I've kept in. And I thought, do you know what? I'm just going to say what I think. Over all these years, how you've made me feel, I'm just going to say it. And I said it all. And I just think from that point onwards, we're never going to make up. We're never going to be friends. I'm not her biggest fan. And we leave it as that. The awkward thing is, she lives down the road from me. It is what it is. I ain't going to be bumping into her at my local Tesco. I hope not.
This is the problem with Towie, though, right? And are you kind of closing the door on it then?
What?
On your friendship with her?
Oh, yeah, 100%. That door is locked, sealed, shut. No, I don't think I'll ever be friends with her again. But that's how I want it, and that's how I feel happier with it. Just as we were friends for so long, and there's so much I kept in, and then kind of I stay on the show. So I'm just, yeah, that chapter's closed.
And how about the rest of Girl Banks? Courtney and Chloe have come back, haven't they?
Yeah, so Courtney and Chloe come back. Obviously, we was fine. We was absolutely fine. Obviously, I've been friends with them for years as well. Absolutely fine. But yeah, we have a laugh on the show as well.
So was it only Amber you had kind of fallen out with before filming, or Courtney and Chloe as well? You hadn't heard from any of them?
Well, do you know what? The thing was, Amber was in my friendship group prior to me being on the show. Courtney and Chloe weren't really in that friendship group. We were friends, but they weren't in that solid group of mine beforehand. So it was more so Amber was, obviously there was an issue there, because she was in my day-to-day friendship group that we was always in every single day. Courtney and Chloe always been fine with them, but obviously, and it would all kind of unravel on the show. There's tension between us as well.
Was filming what you anticipated it to be?
It was.
Or did you have no idea? I don't know.
No, honestly, I had no idea how Taui was filmed or how the setup was or anything like that. I had no clue. Obviously, I was used to Love Struck and the cameras were rolling 24/7. Obviously, with Taui, is very different. But I mean, I personally found Taui an absolute breeze and I absolutely loved it. I thought, is this what I'm getting paid to do? This is absolutely perfect. With Love Struck, we were up at 6 a.m. filming and we wouldn't finish till 12 at midnight. Do you know what I mean? So yeah. It's very, very long days. Whereas with Taui, you go to a scene, you film for an hour, you go home. So it's absolutely sweet, yeah.
And how did you find the trip? Did you enjoy it?
Do you know what? I did really enjoy the trip. Obviously, there were certain cast members that I hadn't ever met before, so I was a bit wary, but I'm very confident in who I am as a person. Once you get to know me, like, we're sweet. Like, as long as there's no problem, then we're kind of fine. So, yeah, it was very much like being thrown in the deep end, and obviously it was quite intense being there. But, yeah, I loved it. It was like a holiday and just working at the same time.
Yeah, like you said, if you only got to take an hour out of your day to go sit for dinner with someone or something, it was the Caribbean, wasn't it?
We went to the Dominican, yeah. I mean, I got told literally, I think, a week before I was going. So it was very, I was like, that week was panic week. And I was like, right, let's get everything sorted and go. So, yeah.
It's lucky, though. I mean, that's a nice thing to do for a job, isn't it? To get to travel abroad and do bits and things like that. You mentioned about being sort of work focused. What is it you want to achieve?
I think for me, Stephen, the main thing is, I obviously from growing up, and I'm 27 now, the things I've kind of been through have kind of shaped me to who I am today. I was never this person. I was never this confident and I was never this kind of outspoken as I am today. So I think for me, the main focus is when I look back at when I was 18 years old, there was no one that I could look up to in the industry or out in public and just kind of be inspired by. So for myself, like, I come from a Muslim background. I'm also Pakistani and my parents don't agree with what I do. We don't have any communication. So I am a one man band and it is me, myself and I. So my main focus is just using my platform, trying to help younger people. Like, when I was younger, there was no one I could look up to and be like, oh my God, I get where he's coming from. That's someone I can kind of aspire to be or kind of get kind of focused from. Do you know what I mean? So my main thing is, and everything I do is just trying to help other people. And if there's anyone that I can help from, like the gay community, the Muslim community or the Asian community, that can look up to me and be like, you know, Junaid's done it. There's no, and the sad thing is, and I sat there and said this to one of my friends the other day, there's not one openly gay Asian Muslim reality star out there. And if that means that I've got to take a stance for them people, because there's plenty of people out there, but they're just not comfortable or open enough to come out. So if I can take the stance and kind of showcase them, it's fine. Don't get me wrong, I've been through my hardship. I don't speak to my family. My family disowned me for being gay, but I still found happiness in the end. I'm still trying to do everything I can to make myself happy and others as well. So yeah, a bit deep, but that is.
No, but that's great. And I think that's actually a real important platform to have. And like you said, if no one else is doing it, then and you're prepared to, then why not? But like, why do you think that is? People are scared.
100%. Yeah. There's a lot of fear in, like, obviously the religion that I come from, there's a lot of fear as well. So people don't want to be that kind of guinea pig, essentially, to kind of be so open and be so honest and be so out there. Whereas with me, it's very much, it's always something I've wanted to do. And I've always known from a young age that there is no one out there like me that people can look up to. So if that means I can make plenty of other people be confident in who they are and be open about who they are, I've done what I need to do. But I think also as well, people don't really see that side of me. They think, oh, he's loud, he's proud, he's confident, he's one of them. But there's a lot more to me than what meets the eye. I know there's quite a lot of foundation on, but behind all that, there is someone that is very genuine, very honest. And when you know me personally, what you see is what you get.
It is like, I do really think, because I have gay, Muslim, Asian friends, but yeah, it is a good point. There aren't that many. I can't actually think of any off the top of my head.
No.
There was a comedian guy, I've forgotten his name. But yeah, I mean, like, there are, they do exist. So yeah, I mean, more power to you. Was that, you mentioned at the beginning about school not being a particularly good time for you. Was that because of that all combined together?
yeah, like obviously when I was in school, it was very traumatic. Like I did get like beaten up on a few occasions for being like, well, at that point, I didn't know if I was gay or not. I was 16. Do you know what I mean? I didn't know at that time. And yeah, I just went to quite an Asian populated school. So it was very much like, I stood out because I wasn't the norm of what everyone else wanted to be. So yeah, school for me wasn't the best of times, but going on to Lovestruck was like the best time for me. Going back to school as the new me.
And how was it watching Lovestruck back? Because obviously, like you say, when you're filming from 6 a.m. till 12 p.m, there's a lot of hours of footage.
Yeah.
So when you're sat down, compared to Terry, when you're very aware you're filming a scene, I guess it's you kind of watch that show not knowing what's going to go in.
Literally, when I watched it back, I thought, oh gosh, I forgot I said them things. Or you don't think the cameras are rolling, and they literally pick up on everything when the cameras are not rolling. I thought, oh gosh, I wish I never said that. But I loved Lovestruck because you really did see me for who I am. And yes, I'm witty. Yes, I'm quite funny, but also I'm a bitch. And you got to see all them avenues of me, which I really liked, because you did see me. You did see my real soft side, and then you saw my real bitchy side as well. So it was a lot more natural, to say the least. Like, we were just kind of going with the flow. But exactly what you said as well, we were filming so many hours a day, and it was cut down to like very like 30 seconds.
Did you get to meet Lindsay Lohan?
No, well, no, because what the most annoying thing was, so after Lovestruck aired, and this was as soon as I went to Dominican with Tawi, I come back, Amazon called me and was like, right, you're going to an event with Lindsay Lohan in LA. And I was like, what? Yeah, you're the only cast member that's been selected to go. So I was like, right, well, let's go. So literally, I've come back from Dominican. I had one day in Essex, flew to LA with Amazon to go to this event with Lindsay Lohan. Heidi and Spencer were there, Heidi Klum, quite a few big LA names. And they was like, right, you're going to go like talk about Lovestruck High with Lindsay Lohan. And I was thinking, oh my gosh, you are joking. What's the odds on the day she didn't turn up?
Oh, no.
You did not turn up. And I was like,
no.
And I was like, oh my gosh, I've literally come all the way to LA. I mean, I had an amazing trip. I could not complain. I had an amazing trip. But yeah, she didn't turn up, so I had to speak about it on my own.
Did you have to do like a red carpet situation?
Yeah, it was like a full red carpet press. Now there's interviews, and I was thinking, no one has a clue who I am here, but let's just go with it.
Did they say why she didn't turn up?
No, nothing. It was on the day because we all checked in. They checked into this beautiful hotel in LA. And there was like, oh, Lindsay's going to be in this hotel. I was like, you are joking. And in the morning, like the morning of the event, they got all like everything sorted. They was like, oh, she hasn't checked in. And I was like, what does this mean?
Just didn't turn up.
I mean, that sounds like a very Lindsay Lohan kind of thing to do, doesn't it?
To be fair, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I was like, oh my gosh. And the worst thing was, I was literally there for 3 days. Then I had to fly back, obviously, to come and film Tawi again. And that was, yeah, it was just crazy.
At least you got to have an amazing experience in a hotel and do that sort of thing, even if no one did know who you were.
I mean, I loved it. I felt like a proper jet setter that week, flying from Dominican back to LA. But it was
like, this is the life I'm going up to Lindsay Lohan. I'm going to be like, and then turns out,
dreams have come true for me. I'm part of the A-listers.
And everyone's got to have that bump that brings you back down to earth.
I know. I sat there, but I knew this is too good to be true. And
so are you planning, do you think you'll stay on Tawi if the opportunity comes up, and or what are you thinking?
I mean, yeah, I'd love to. It's definitely a bit of me, and I'd stay on the show until they get rid of me, really. So yeah, I'd love to kind of stay there for however long and see what other opportunities come. Yeah, just wait and see.
It's dead exciting. I think, you know, these times when people start doing all the, I'm a bit jealous, to be honest.
No,
I just get to sit here every week with Bob and, you know, do I?
No, I love what you guys do. Obviously, you guys have been doing it for so long. I've heard of your guys' show for years. So yeah, no, it's amazing. I think as well, like for myself, if I go back a year, I was working full time as a bank manager, and now I fast forward a year and I'm literally living my dreams. I'm so, so grateful. Like, everything I've wanted and more in the space of a year has happened, and I'll be so grateful forever.
You're a lucky thing. Are there any other reality shows you'd love to do?
Yeah.
Go on.
I mean, I'm like...
All of them.
I laugh because my friends are like, Janae, you would never, ever. But like, I'd love to do like Dance on Ice or Dance on Ice or The Jungle, even though I hate it. Like, if you knew me, I'm the most OCD person in the whole world. One speck of dust, anything, I can't stand it. And my friends are literally, you know, you would cry your eyes out. But yeah, obviously, if the opportunity come along, 100%, why not? Anyone would take it.
I don't know, you know, you couldn't get me in a box of spiders or something. Or,
really? Oh, my God, I love it. I mean, I'd be absolutely terrible, but I think I'd be hilarious. So, yeah.
Good television at the end of the day. Yeah, if any of the producers are listening. Yeah. Well, where can we watch TOWIE? Where can we catch up with it?
So TOWIE is on ITVB every Sunday, 9 p.m. And it's an absolute amazing series.
Well, you've sold it. Excellent work. Thank you so much for joining us, Stephen. Really appreciate it. And best of luck.
Thank you so much, guys.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. You're going to go back, Bob.
never say never.
That's what all the TOWIE cast
always
say.
That's what TOWIE always used to say back in the day in an interview, wasn't it? Whenever it was always never say never.
I can answer for you on that one, I think. I guess that's the funny thing. He went from being a bank manager to, yeah, like you said, Dominican Republic to being let down by Lindsay Lohan. So, you know, it's all in the space of a few days. So, you know, if he's living his dream, why not?
Absolutely, babe, absolutely. Should we do a little bit more showbiz gossip?
Yeah, what else has caught your eye this week other than Liz Truss?
Apart from Lizzie, I don't know if you've seen, but the Osbournes are coming back to the UK and are doing another reality show.
Now, this seems quite odd to me because times have moved on since when we had the Osbournes on MTV back in whenever it was, 2002, 2003, something like that. Mm. And I remember clips of Sharon throwing a boiled ham over the fence at her neighbour and calling her a C word. And
iconic.
And yeah, all those kind of things. Now, reality TV's become in one way it's become more refined, doesn't it? But in another way, there's more of it. I feel like you don't get that rawness that you did with the Osbournes anymore. Any family that would go into it wouldn't just be like, film whatever and we'll just go with whatever.
Yeah, I think a lot of reality now, a lot of people, I think it's heavily produced and I think a lot of reality stars self-edit as well.
Yes,
and
exactly.
Very aware. Whereas back in the day, reality was just that. I think from what I've seen, I think this is going to almost document them leaving the States and coming back to the UK.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no denying their show was iconic.
Yeah, massive.
And I kind of think, in a way, opened the door for the likes of, like, the Kardashians, like, having 100%. Families. I definitely think the Kardashians
wouldn't have existed without the Osbournes.
No, without the Osbournes. I'd kind of be intrigued to see Sharon and Ozzy as Nan and Granddad, because Kelly's obviously pregnant now. I think Jack's got three.
Yeah, he's got a couple of kids.
So I wonder what Ozzy's like. Is he sat there giving out a word as originals? I mean, Sharon, what a name. She's iconic. Imagine if your nan was C-bombing the neighbours, throwing the gammon over the fence. I mean, that's the nan everyone wants, isn't it?
Yeah, once, but then probably when you have it, it probably isn't quite as good as, you know, my grandma taking me to my swimming lessons or whatever.
Yeah.
You know,
but we ain't going to see Sharon, I think, sat there doing countdown.
Knitting, or, yeah.
Nah.
I mean, I'll definitely watch it because I do think just by its nature, you know, we're 20 years on now, which actually feels really bizarre to say out loud.
Yeah.
They will self-edit in a way that maybe they would have done before. Maybe not so much Sharon and Ozzy, but certainly I would imagine Kelly and Jack would be way more aware of what they could and couldn't say and do.
And this is them, obviously, as adults now. But they was, I think, teenagers, weren't they? They was doing scenes, arguing in their bedrooms, tearing each other a new arsehole.
Punching each other.
It was savage. Things.
Yeah, really savage.
Whereas, obviously, both have gone to have successful careers now. Both are parents.
Parents,
I'd like to see what their dynamics are like. I know they've done a few bits and bobs over the years.
Mm.
I saw Jack and Kelly did, like, a thing not that long ago, actually, and can I just say, how incredible Kelly Osbourne looks at the minute.
She does look very good. Yeah.
Looks
she
definitely very, very good.
She suddenly like sort of got really in shape, didn't she, for a while? And after her teenage years, I think it was probably quite a shock looking back and seeing her with like, you know, pink hair and her little skull bow things in her hair and all that.
Singing Papa Don't Preach.
Yeah. You know, I actually, as a teenager, I must have been a teenager then, yeah. I had a bit of a crush on Jack. Which is quite unusual. Yeah. I used to always kind of like those sort of skater boy looking
ones. Was that your vibe?
It was just a bit sort of messy looking and a bit like...
Had the chain around the jeans.
Loved all that. Loved like a pair of Vans, pair of chunky Vans and a baggy jean and it's like a skatery top. And it's for some reason, when I was about 17, Jack Osbourne to me was like a little heartthrob.
It was funnily enough, never been my vibe, skater boys, actually. I've always been more into like a guy with a skinny jean and like a fitted polo.
Yeah, fair.
Typical Essex boy, to be fair. I didn't venture far.
No, I mean, my first ever boyfriend was the lead singer of our local, God, it's embarrassing, our local, I guess you call them indie band. He was called James, and the band were called Stoned, which, like, I think just sums it up.
Sums it up. And did he used to carry a skateboard?
I never saw a skateboard, but he did. He used to do this thing called... I didn't either. I just used to, like, fancy them from afar. He used to be in this thing, and I can't remember its exact name, but it was, like, real wrestling, where him and his friends just used to go and, like, beat each other up in the woods. I can't really remember the details of it. I was about 16 at the time. But that was my kind of boy then. I have moved on since then, just a little bit. Anyway, we've gone way off topic here. The Osbournes, are back and we're dead excited about it, is basically the point. But I want to talk to you a little bit about, I think, some of the best showbiz gossip that has been happening in months. And that is the press tour for the new Harry Styles film, Don't Worry Darling, which I have become bizarrely obsessed with. I'm not really that bothered about Harry Styles. I mean, other than he's a very attractive man and seems to be very talented.
I'm in love with him a little bit, I think.
Yeah, I can see why. But so he got with Olivia Wilde, the director of the film, while they were filming, right? Mm. That is said to have upset, this is all alleged, I don't know if any of this is true or what, that is said to have upset Florence Pugh, who's the female lead in the film opposite Harry.
The love interest.
And they seem to basically never be photographed like with Olivia because she was married at the time and it seems that Florence was a little bit like, this isn't really very right. The right thing to do. Then also you bring in Chris Pine, who's the the actor who one of the Chris's, you know, along with like Hemsworth and all that, who seems to be spending a lot of the press tour sitting there not being asked anything because there's all this drama going on around their like interpersonal relationship. And then did you see the spit?
Yeah, I was just about to say, is this the Chris that they were saying did Harry spit in his lap?
Yeah. So there seems to be this weird thing where Harry went to sit down at the screening where he sort of leans over Chris and hovers just for like a second, even less than a second maybe, and seems to spit in his lap, to which point Chris is like looking down at his lap and he's just like this. But in reality, if someone just spat in your lap while you were sitting there, you probably wouldn't just sit there and be like, oh God, again. You'd get up and say something, right? Or walk away or something.
Unless it was Harry Styles and he could spit in the lap.
In your face, babe. I'm just obsessed with the whole thing. Like, they've had to release a statement.
She's pulled out of doing any of the press now, isn't she? Apart from the red carpet, apparently she's not, allegedly, obviously, apparently isn't happy to do any promo for it.
Well, just before we logged on to do this show today, she did post for the first time about the film. I think maybe someone said, I'm sorry, but you're going to have to do one thing. Yeah. in which
because that's in your contract. Whenever you do, yeah. I mean, I've never been a Hollywood film, but even TV shows, you're contractually obliged to promo and yeah. do press and.
Well, and she's a big, big star. She's a big, big. Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's not like yeah. And she's supposed to be filming another big movie in Eastern Europe, which is why she had to leave the press stuff early. But I'm just obsessed with all the drama. Like, who I didn't care about any of these people 2 weeks ago, and now I'm like obsessed, and will probably watch the film, which is also getting really bad reviews. I mean, it's just like one thing after another, isn't it?
Indirectly, I mean, it's become, even though it's been a strange few days of press, the people and the traffic it's going to drive to watch the film has kind of gone full circle. So actually, as this press actually turned around so much that everyone's going to rush to see it, because I think what we're seeing is, obviously, I don't think it's even released yet, is it?
No.
Here.
No.
But apparently the fallouts happened towards the last part of filming. So I think people are going to be looking to see, like, by the end of this film, what's the chemistry like with these actors? Because, you know, it's like when you start a job with people, you all want to get on, you want to have a lovely old time. By the end, if there's people rowing and... there's tensions behind the scenes.
Yeah. And people, yeah, like you said, will be watching for the minute things that maybe come through on the camera. I doubt that will happen. But I just think, and also this is Harry Styles' like first big sort of big film project. He's done little bits here and there in other films, I believe. But this is his first big thing and he's getting panned and you're like, oh no, this is maybe not going quite as well as anticipated. But then I've also read people saying that this is all a big conspiracy to get people to go and see the film, and this is just to drum up attention. So how do you know what's true?
We'll probably never know. But has it been confirmed? I saw the rumor mill, which obviously we know what the rumor mill's all right, saying that they're not even together anymore.
Yeah, in addition to everything else, apparently Harry and Olivia might have split.
So we shit at the fans so bad but even the relationship's gone tits up. Who knows?
And the thing is with these things, I always think, even if it's not all true, there's definitely going to be like a little minute little bit of truth in there somewhere. You look at the women of Sex and the City, the rumours went around for years that they'd all fallen out. Mm. Turns out it was definitely true and Kim Cattrall was just biding her time to talk about it.
Yeah.
I doubt with sort of this level of star, they'd ever be sort of sitting down doing an interview with Piers Morgan about it. But, you know, I think the fact that it is likely that something's gone on. And
I definitely want to go and see it. Like I say, I was never a directioner. Is that what they was called?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, don't get me wrong, I love some of their songs, but I never followed them religiously.
Yeah, yeah.
But over the last, not even that long, the last year, maybe the last couple of years, I don't know what it is about Harry Styles.
He's just become a man, I think, isn't he? Yeah, he's just...
And he's a salt.
He's a real salt.
I'm like, hello, Harry.
But he's not the skinny jean polo top wearing...
no, that's what I mean. Boy. What's going on?
Yeah.
I've evolved.
Yeah, maybe you just want someone with a big bell-bottom trouser and a collar now, like Austin Powers or something.
Yeah, maybe I just want a bit of the styles.
Yeah, well, I think you're probably going to be at the back of a queue of about 3 million women and probably about 500,000 men. So, yeah, I mean, you're not alone in that.
Don't go buying that just yet, Stephen.
No, probably not. Probably not. But I'm excited to see where it goes. And, yeah, I probably will end up watching the film just because I'll be wanting to see why it's been so badly reviewed and what really went on behind the scenes, to be honest. So,
absolutely.
Yeah, dead excited. Well, what a show. Bit of a different one this week. Slight change in the way we do things, but perfectly good. You enjoyed it?
Loved it. Bit of politics.
Yeah, a bit of politics. Sorry for
everyone. We're forever evolving.
Yeah. Maybe we can be the next big politics show. Who knows? We'll take on... who are they? Oh, there's a... Anyway, whatever. Blah, blah, blah. What are you up to next couple of days, Bob? Anything exciting?
Next couple of days? Joe, I always never know. What am I up to?
Open book. Nothing wrong with that.
Open book. Yeah, I'm an open book. How about you, babe?
I am I've got a friend's big birthday on Saturday, so I'm saying no to any and all invites this week because I know I'm going to be an absolute mess on Saturday. So I'm preparing my body to be just a vessel for alcohol. Yeah, come Saturday.
It's gotta be done.
So yeah, that's my plan. So quiet one this week, watching the politics on TV, I guess.
Yeah. Absolutely, yeah. Let's see. Yeah, it'd be interesting to know by the time we record next week
what the hell's going on with Albizzi,
where we stand. So tune in next week, guys. We'll be bringing your politics, world affairs,
Harry Styles.
Yeah, bit of the stuff. Guess. I mean, you get it all here at Access All Areas. The clue's in the title. We can access all areas.
All areas. Well, thanks everyone for listening. Until next week, goodbye.
Bye, guys.